This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. The snow said, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Well, it's not Christmas yet, but it is white in some parts of the U.S. because lots of snow has hit the ground. Minneapolis, St. Paul, the airport with the visibility on some of the runways was so low late in the afternoon that for a time they closed the runway, knowing that it would be difficult with the landings and taking off, etc., but for only for a small amount of time. And in other parts of the country, weather has been a huge factor. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. You know, it's interesting starting with White Christmas. You know, this is a stressful time of year for a lot of people, the whole holiday season. And one of the things, I guess, that stresses some people out is listening to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas song, because it plays a lot on the radio, so much so that she makes like $35 million a year, which is so crazy, in residuals. It plays in, you know, the stores and commercials, etc. And supposedly, some Americans, I know Jeremy Paul, and our technical director asked me, oh, do we not have to play Mariah Carey? To some Americans, that particular song causes stress because they've heard it too many times. So one of the best ways, apparently, of coping with her song that's being overplayed, or any holiday song that's being overplayed, is when the jingle starts. This is what a psychologist said. When the jingle starts and it's being overplayed, you're supposed to say out loud a positive affirmation to yourself, I am worthy of happiness, financial abundance, and optimal health. Can you imagine that? That becomes the mantra. All of a sudden people are saying that out in stores. But I guess in all seriousness, when you keep hearing a song over and over again, it can rev you up and it can cause that anxiety. I frankly think it's the pressure to have the perfect holiday and to feel obliged to get a crazy amount of presents you can't afford, or feeling like you have to go to these parties that you've been invited to. Maybe some people feel that kind of pressure. I don't know. But 70% of Americans are stressed out in the holiday. I can think of a lot of other reasons to be stressed, like the fact that we have the looming rail strike, the fact that we still have inflation woes, and the fact that we have the great unknown, as we always do when you bounce into a new year. I'm a glass half full person and pretty optimistic, but if you sat and really thought about some of the things that lie ahead, yeah, that could be pretty stressful, very stressful. I'll tell you what, I bet the Oath Keepers founder was pretty stressed. The Oath Keepers founder was found guilty of seditious conspiracy for January 6th. This is Stuart Rhodes. That's his name. He's the founder of that group. And he, you know, was pretty vocal at rallies, etc., but convicted Tuesday for what happened on the 6th and being found guilty of sedition, it brings a pretty big sentence with it. We don't know what the sentence will be. And he was actually acquitted of two other conspiracy charges. Co-defendant Kelly Meggs, who led the anti-government group's Florida chapter, was also convicted of seditious conspiracy. There were three others that were clear to that charge. But this verdict means that they could get up to, I mean, Rhodes and Meigs are the first people in about three decades to be found guilty at trial of seditious conspiracy. It's a rarely used charge, my friends, since the Civil War era, and it's very difficult to prove. It could be at least 9 years, but it could be as high as 20 years behind bars. 20 years behind bars. That's huge. And one of the things that they said during the trial over the 7 weeks of testimony, jurors listened to what Rhodes did, rallying followers, that kind of stuff, discussed the prospect of a bloody civil war, warned the oath keepers may have to rise up in insurrection to defeat Biden if Trump didn't act. So there were encrypted messages and recordings and surveillance video. That's what the prosecutors had. If you're wondering what did the jury really listen to, what did they see? And I think by especially keep saying they'd have to rise up and insurrection and all that kind of stuff, that just added into it. I mean, it's certainly not a total win for the government, and there will be an appeal, et cetera, and it'll be interesting to see what the appeal brings, because, like I said, it's so hard to prove that. It's something that we hardly ever hear or see. Rhodes testified that he had no idea his followers were going to join the mob and storm the Capitol, and said he was upset after he found out that some did. He said they were acting stupid and outside their mission for the day. That's what I'm sure part of that whole appeals will be based on, some of that again. But as of right now, he's sitting on a sentence of, like I said, anywhere from 9, which would be on the lower end, to 20 years. And then, of course, also what happens in that appeal as well. You know, it's interesting in bouncing from that to this, because we haven't seen the Republicans do this, but Kevin McCarthy, who is getting kind of an iffy reception, not by everybody, but some in the Republican Party, to become the next Speaker of the House, he talked about, he was asked on Tuesday about Trump and Donald Trump, the former president, having dinner with Nick Fuentes, a white nationalist and Holocaust denier. That was the question that was posed to him. And McCarthy just said, I don't think anybody should be spending any time with Nick Fuentes. He has no place in the Republican Party. I think President Trump came out 4 times and condemned him and didn't know who he was. And the reporter shot back to him, well, he just said he didn't know who he was. He didn't condemn his ideology. So they went back and forth. And McCarthy said, well, I condemn his ideology. It has no place in society whatsoever. So for McCarthy, and all the Republicans are being asked this, about Kanye West, having the dinner with Kanye West and Fuentes being there, and some of the comments that he's made. But the Republicans are distancing themselves, obviously, a little bit from Trump because they saw what happened in the midterm elections, and the goal is to win the presidency. And is that going to be Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida? There's a big looming question that DeSantis continually gets asked if he's running, he's running, he's running. And he's saying, listen, I'm focusing on the great state of Florida. He's like not hinting at all that he may take the cue and run for president. What do you think? Let me know. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave.
Yeah,
going to the man cave.
The man cave, and I think the thing that everybody's talking about is Bravo Team USA. They did it, absolutely, and that's key. You know, you watch soccer, and it's amazing how big the field is, and you watch, and you think, I mean, of course they're gassed. And soccer, I don't understand soccer in a lot of ways, right? I've covered sports for all of my life, and you know, played various things when I was a kid. I wasn't a, quotes, a tomboy, but really liked sports. And soccer was something where even the, when I tried it, I was like, wow, do I want to get kicked in the shins and the head and the face? And so it was never my thing, but I respect the sport the hell out of the people that played the sport and what they go through and what they do. And how about Captain America? You got to be proud of this guy, you know, for scoring that goal and really throwing his body into it. He deserves immense credit for scoring the goal that won the match between Iran 1-0. So now the U.S. is in the round of 16. And there was so much controversy over this match, off the field issues, all kinds of things, because of what's happened in Iran. Players, the Iranian players being threatened if they didn't sing their national anthem, their families would be tortured, crazy stuff, and in some cases killed, which is ridiculous. So now the U.S. goes on Saturday to meet the Netherlands. And yeah, it's very, very big for this team to be in this position, especially with what's happened with the male U.S. team, soccer team, over the last, you know, 8, 10 years. Some really great players, but some really disappointing matches. So the fact that CP scored and they were able to fend off Iran and what they were trying to do, I think some cheap shots at the tail end of this, is very, very big. And U.S. coach Greg Berhalter knows that and knows how tough this match was. And he says he can't say enough good things about Christian, Captain America, and the goal. And you know, they hope that he's going to be back for this next one. But I think a lot of people will be watching. The U.S. looks at this match. It's the first time that since 2014 that they set up a round of 16 showdown with the Netherlands on Saturday. They saw 9 minutes of second half stoppage time to win because there was, you know, they added more time to it. That's what they do. To win their first World Cup match since 2014. So that's how long it's been, 2014. That's why this is a very, very big deal. So congratulations to Team USA. We are behind you, definitely. And, you know, watching the match with Iran, if you ever think you get sick of all the politics and the nonsense, this is veering out of the man cave, but this would be conversation in the man cave. Think of exactly what's happened to these Iranian players, some really good athletes, and the nonsense that they've had to deal with living in the country that they live in. Just think about that, right? Not the same for the guys who play for Team USA. This is interesting. Deshaun Watson is back. You know, there have been nearly more than 24 lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson, but most of them have been settled. And this is the Cleveland quarterback who was accused of sexual misconduct. And so on Sunday, they're taking on Houston in Houston, and about 10 of the women who accused Watson of sexual harassment and assault during the massages are planning to attend that game at NRG Stadium, where the Browns, of course, are taking on the Texans, and watch him play for his return from that 11-game suspension. The attorney for a lot of those women, his name is Tony Busby, said that some of the clients asked to go. They thought it was important to make clear they're still here and that they matter. So that's why they're going, that their voices were, you know, are heard, and it's not something that's over. Watson was still with the Texans when about 20 women alleged that he exposed himself, touched them, kissed them against their will during these massage therapy sessions. So he's back on the field. You can bet there will be some conversation about that. There are, there is at least one woman who is declined to settle and wants the case to go to trial. And there was another lawsuit that was filed last month by a woman who alleges that he also pressured her into sex. So that's not his saga is far from over. There's some other things that are happening off the field too, like health issues when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. You think of the season that the Green Bay Packers are having, a terrible season, very different from last year where he announced to the world he was engaged to a well-known actress, Shailene Woodley, and everything was great and wonderful. And this season has been much different for him, and it hasn't been about everything that's great and wonderful off the field. I mean, it's not that he hasn't talked about his life off the field, but not as much. Now it's about his rib injury. So 2 days after he left Sunday's game against the Eagles with that rib injury, he says he expects to play this week against the Chicago Bears. He said he got good news with the scans. He wants to play. They feared initially he had a punctured lung, but that was ruled out. He had x-rays at the Link in Philly when that happened, and they wanted to see if he had fractured ribs, but they were inconclusive. And you know, there were other tests that were done, and so he feels that he's able to play. Matt LaFleur LaFleur, his coach, said he would play this week if he was healthy rather than going to Jordan Love. And that's, I guess, what will happen. You know, it's, like I said, been a tough season. The Packers lost for the seventh time in their last eight games. They're 4-8 with five games to go. And Rodgers has said, look, we're not eliminated. We have a chance to run the last five and see where we stand after that. And he said that's his focus, that he just wants to run the table and go from, you know, go from there. Other injuries that are big, speaking of Philadelphia, Eagles safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to be sidelined indefinitely. He has a lacerated kidney, and there's a decision that's, you know, in the offing of what to do, whether to place him on injured reserve or not. They haven't made that decision yet. He was injured in that Packers game, too, in the first quarter following a collision across midfield with a receiver for Green Bay, Christian Watson. And you just saw him. He just doubled over in pain and left the field before being carted inside, and he didn't come back to the game. And he is the league leader in interceptions with six, and he's one of the top playmakers for the Eagles defense. That's number one in the NFL in takeaways with 23. So that's a big loss for Philadelphia. But Philadelphia sits at 10-1 in a crowded house in the NFC East, though, to be sure. How about college football and what's happening in college football? USC joining Georgia, Michigan, TCU. You know, the committee and decisions that have to be made. So Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC are poised to make the college football playoff with wins in their conference championship games this weekend after the selection committee unveiled its rankings on Tuesday night. There was no change at the top. Georgia, 12-0, is number one. Michigan, 12-0, beat Ohio State. What was the score? 45-23 on Saturday. So the Wolverines jumped one spot to number two. TCU, the Horned Frogs in Fort Worth, Texas, 12-0. They stayed at number three. USC, 11-1, made their first appearance in the top four after the Buckeyes and LSU lost. So Ohio State dropped to number five, and they have to hope for some upsets and chaos in the upcoming title games to potentially get that opportunity to make it back into the playoff mix. Alabama behind the Buckeyes at number six. Very odd to not see Alabama there. Nick Saban's team is so rare that Alabama isn't part of the conversation. But we'll see. Bowl announcements are upcoming and all that good stuff to come in college football. Buckle up. Coming up next, a conversation with Kathy Trueheart. She is really an amazing woman. Hang with us.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mail and cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
28-year-old James Grimes was rescued by the Coast Guard on Thanksgiving Day after falling off a Carnival cruise ship the day before. One of his heroes, aviation survival technician Richard Hopeful, spoke to CBS News about the save.
I believe that survivor had about 30 seconds to a minute left before we lost him. He fell off a boat. He didn't have flotation. He didn't have a radio or flares. He just had to do anything that he could with what he had, which was nothing.
NATO doubled down Tuesday on its commitment to one day include Ukraine. The country applied for accelerated accession to the 30-member alliance on September 30th, but won't join anytime soon. It's not clear what Ukraine's borders would even look like. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
She's written a book called The Miracle of Hospice, The Personal Journey of a Hospice Nurse. It's such an interesting book. One of the things that she talks about, there's three parts in it, and we're going to go to her in a second, including the fact that she's got 10 helpful facts about the dying process, and she and I talked off the air about how difficult this is, of course, for so many people. And in my own life, I saw the value of hospice when my mother was dying from cancer. Boy, do we need them, and they were just miracle workers for us and made such a difference. So, Kathy Trueheart, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what made you decide, you know what, I need to get this in a book.
Well, it was actually, it just happened to be one day that I had just had an incredibly diverse day. I mean, I went from breaking up a fist fight in a family meeting to doing a pronouncement with a sage stick, from sitting on a porch having an epiphany to cleaning kitty litter. And I remember right after that day, the day was done, and I went, oh, my God, I could write a book about this day. And so it kind of mulled in my head and marinated for 3 or 4 years, and then finally I just said, no, it's time. So, and it took about 9 months to write it. It's like a birthing process. And I think part of it, too, was like just, you know, I spent like pretty much 40 years of my career doing hospice, and you know, I just learned so much, the rich experiences that I've had, you know, the privilege of being with people at such an incredible time in their life. And I just, the stories are just so precious to me, and the information that I've gathered in all these years just felt like it needed to be written down. You know, I didn't want to take it with me. I just felt like I wanted to share it and see if I could help. And even if I felt like even if I could just help one person, then it would be worth writing the book. And so I know it has helped a lot of people, and so I'm really grateful for that.
That's wonderful. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how you did this book. I mentioned that there's three parts in the book. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the first part is that one day, and I take you through the nitty-gritty of a day in the life of a hospice nurse. So I talk about cases that I mentioned previously. And so then at the end of that are the 10 common myths about hospice, because there's so much that people don't know about hospice, and they have misconceptions. So that's the first part. The second part is like my personal experience. And so I write about my journey of taking care of my mother, being a caregiver burnout, you know, experiencing it firsthand. And it's very different, you know, talking to people and teaching them about it when it happens to you. It's very, very different. So I talked about my father, and there was a financial feud with my sister that is so prevalent, and so many, when someone dies, there's usually a problem with finances. So I just felt compelled to share those kind of experiences, as well as spirituality and holistic nursing modalities. So that kind of encompasses the second part of the book. And then at the end of that is 10 helpful facts about the dying process, as you mentioned. And then the third part is the why, who, where, when of hospice, which is kind of the nitty-gritty didactic part of hospice. And at the end of that is the 10 myths about grieving. I also was a grief counselor for several years. And interlaced throughout the whole book are just personal experiences of people that I had the privilege of caring for.
Wow. So it's like I'm thinking, this is a book that, this is from A to Z, it's about the dying process for sure, and then how do you do it. And you talk about the 10 myths about hospice. What are some of the myths?
Well, just, you know, well, for one thing, people think that once you come on hospice, they take away all your meds and they throw you on morphine. And that's not true. You know, it does happen. We do, you know, decrease people's medications, the ones that they don't really need, that aren't really helping them at this point. And if somebody's in pain, then certainly, you know, we do have morphine, which is I encourage people to make friends with, because it can be such an incredibly helpful medication for pain and for breathing. But you know, we go slow, we start low, go slow. That's the motto for the pain medication. But, you know, a lot of people just think that they just get thrown on morphine and there's no hope left. And there's always hope. And people don't realize how often people get discharged from hospice. They think, well, once you're on hospice, that's it, you're dying. And that's not true. You know, oftentimes, you know, miracles do happen. That's why I named the book The Miracle of Hospice, because miracles do happen, and we never take away people's hope. And, you know, maybe there's not a cure for the life-threatening illness, but there can certainly be a lot of healing that can be done before somebody takes their last breath. And that's kind of what hospice is all about, helping people live a quality life until the time when they do take their last breath, and helping people to prepare. You know, it's like, it's a pretty incredible experience, and it's one that most people are afraid of. But, you know, my feeling is that it's something to be revered rather than feared. Of course, I had a near-death experience to help me to not fear death, but not everybody has that gift. But I certainly used that a lot in my career. Having had that experience of being near death.
And, yeah, so tell us about that. Tell us about the near-death experience.
That happened when I was 5 years old, and I almost drowned. And I had a little inner tube around my waist, and it was holding me over. I dove in, and it was holding me under the water. And I remember saying, oh, my God, I can't believe I can see and pretty into here. God, I thought it was a mud hole, which it was. It was a blood sucker mud hole. But I was able to see my mother's legs. And it was just beautiful under there. And I could see tropical fish. There were no tropical fish. But I saw them, and it was just so pretty, beautiful beach. And then all of a sudden, I remember thinking, oh, my God, I can breathe underwater. So I really felt like I was just breathing underwater, and there was never a moment of fear. It was just, wow, isn't this intriguing? And then this beautiful white light that just kind of encompassed the whole pond. And so I didn't hear any voices or see anyone. I was just in this state of nirvana and just peace and love and beauty, and just, it was wonderful.
Wow.
And then my mother happened to look over, and she saw my boiling, and she pulled me up, and I did not have to be resuscitated, but there had been a lot of deaths that year, drownings in that particular pond. So I just felt like I was given this gift of getting a glimpse of what it's like on the other side, and just, you know, having this life that I could share that with people. And I've since spent time in studies with near-death experience and people like myself who, you know, one of the main things when you have a near-death experience is that you're not afraid of death, and that you have a really strong spiritual life of just feeling like kind of a purpose-driven life, I guess you'd say. And that's kind of what my life has been like. It's felt like very purpose-driven and being of service. Most people will say, how can you do this work? It's got to be so depressing. And I would always respond with, oh, honey, I have plenty of tears that I cry, but it's just, it's a calling, and it's my ministry, and it's just a very profound work to do. It's very humbling, and it's a real privilege.
Yeah, you've said this and weaved this into the conversation, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book, The Miracle of Hospice, The Personal Journey of a Hospice Nurse?
Well, you know, my intention or my goal for the book is to educate people on what hospice is and what it is not, and just helping people to make friends more with the word hospice itself. Unfortunately, the medical profession doesn't really even mention hospice until there's no more cures and there's nothing left, and so they just kind of get this blow that it's hospice. Where I really, if you know, hospice could be mentioned more at the beginning of a life-threatening illness, and to just be more part of conversation and people feeling not so scared by the word, and to just kind of just have it be more of a household word that people understood, and you know, to just kind of not be so terrified of dying and just realize it's such a natural part of life, it can be beautiful. A lot of my people will say, wow, I can't believe that this was beautiful. I'm so grateful. And it's not always beautiful. A lot of times it can be real ugly, but the more prepared you are and the less fear you have going into it, and the more love that you can muster up, it really can be a very different kind of experience for people.
Yeah, wonderful. Perfect place to end this. Kathy Trueheart, you can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kate, and blessings to you and all the listeners. Thank you all for listening.
Hey, guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've been interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
My, oh me, my. Kindly will you reply? Is that you, Santa Claus?
This time around on Author's Corner, we're going to Australia, and I think all of you who have listened to the show know I have such a fascination with Santa. It's a great tie to my father, who sadly died when I was just barely 8 years old, but Santa played a big role in my life. And ironically, and I think I was supposed to talk to Margaret Harcourt West because she's written a book about Santa and flying, I was always curious as to why, you know, how did he fly? And my aunt and my father would tell me, can't you hear him in the air over the roof? And it just always fascinated me, and Santa's always been my favorite. So Margaret's book is called Flying Santa, How Santa Flies in the Sky. And I think you can never get enough Santa, whether it's leading up to Christmas, just after Christmas, or any time of the year. We celebrate Christmas half the time in July as well. So, Margaret, thanks for coming on. I love, love, love the title of your book and the whole premise of it. How did you come up with this?
I came up with it because I told a story to my granddaughters who were a bit like you. They were very interested in Santa. And they said to me, but how does he fly in the sky? And then I told them the story of how it was such a lot of hard work to get Santa flying in the sky. The elves tried, and the gnomes tried, and the fairies tried, and there was no luck. And then, I won't tell you the end of the story, how it actually happens, but there was a beautiful witch called Winifred the Wonder Witch, who was very kind and helpful and lovely. And she helped Santa to fly in the sky. And this is how he flies in the sky to this day.
Ooh, that is a cliffhanger. You are a very skilled storyteller. So I think we're very curious about that cliffhanger. There was no Elon Musk to help with the electric flying car. So we can only imagine how Santa flies. And I just love the whole premise of the story. Is it, do you hope kids are curious and you know they're curious like I am and I was and your granddaughters are? What's the big takeaway from flying, you know, Santa, how Santa flies in the sky? What do you hope children and adults take away from reading your book?
I think that if you try and try, you'll get there. Try and try again, and you will succeed, I think is the message from it, really. And be kind to each other and help each other and cooperate, and you'll get there, and Santa will fly in the sky.
Wow, and that is a perfect message. Be kind and try, and you'll get there. And people could certainly use that message, whether we're talking about little people or older people. Now, you have to tell us, because you have another book about Winifred. It continues the story of Winifred, Winifred the Wonder Witch. Margaret, tell us about the Winifred and some of her characteristics.
Winifred is a beautiful witch. She is, she has green hair, but sort of quite a normal face, you know, but she does have the green hair, and she lives in a cloud in the sky, on the fluffiest green cloud in the sky, and she's always helping people. She's so kind and helpful, and she helps kangaroos find their own ground when the council wanted to take it away for a golf course. And she helps the lions to find a home. And generally she is a very helpful and loving witch. But in the first story, it's called The Witch Who Lost Her Magic. She has lost her magic and she is devastated. So she has to get it back. She goes for a walk with Leo the Lion to see Gerald the Giant, who lives in a big castle, and she knows that he has stolen her magic. But to get it back, he makes her work for the magic, and she has to guess which box, out of hundreds and hundreds of boxes, which box it is in. And eventually, she does guess where the box is, where the magic is, and she is delighted when she has it all back.
Wow, I bet.
And, yeah. And the second story is called Saving the Dragons. And there are two princesses who've got pet dragons, and they just adore their pet dragons. They play with them every day. And they live in the castle with their parents, the king and queen. And one day they hear about these nasty black witches and hear that black witches come and steal dragons. They're frightened that their dragons are going to be stolen by the black witches. And then Winifred hears about all this. And it's Winifred in the end who saves the dragons from a terrible fate with the black witches. And, of course, the princesses are delighted, and they have a big party to celebrate, and the giant's dragons and the princess's dragons all join in a big party because the dragons have been saved.
Oh, just even the, you know, so many of us were intrigued by dragons in watching Game of Thrones, and dragons as kids are so big, I think, how you think of dragons and the symbolism, and you just painted a great a great picture, a mind picture for all of us. So Winifred's stories are interesting, and of course, Santa as well. For you, how gratifying is it to have written these books, these children's books?
Very gratifying, because it's great to see how the children enjoy them, and their eyes light up and they ask questions, and I think that they've learned something by the end, you know, and especially in Winifred, because she's so kind and helpful, and especially in Flying Santa, because everybody joins together to make it happen, to make Santa fly in the sky. It takes a cooperative effort. And
right, so
with Winifred's help, of course.
Yeah, you couldn't do it if you weren't a team, which is such a brilliant way to put that. And I can just only imagine that when children are read these stories, their reaction to it. So it's perfect. You can go on to Amazon and get Margaret Harcourt West's books. We just talked about Winifred, and we just talked about Flying Santa, of course, how Santa flies in the sky, and she gave us that cliffhanger as to what possibly it could be, the exact solution and the teamwork, like I was mentioning, that it would have taken to do that. And so when you're not writing children's books, what are you doing? What else are you doing for fun? Probably writing other things, I would imagine.
Yes, I have written a screenplay, which I think, and some other people think, would make a great movie. It's called The 13th Dance, and it's about a murder that happens in Perth, in Western Australia, in the Government House ballroom in 1925. And it's a true story, but I have dramatized it. And the thing is that this girl, she was only 20, she shot her lover while he was dancing with another girl in Government House ballroom. But the thing is, she got off scot-free.
Ooh.
Not guilty. Even though everyone in the ballroom saw her shoot him, she still was, well, not innocent, but she was not guilty of willful murder. So she sailed away to America. She married an American man and sailed away to America, and we've not heard of her since. So do you think it'd make a good movie?
I think it would make a great movie. I mean, my mind is racing thinking about that story. And as you said, the true element to it is fascinating. And, again, the era, too, because you're talking about the 20s, that's what you mentioned. And, of course, it happening in Western Australia, which also conjures up some images, too. So I'm not surprised by this. It has been an absolute delight to talk to you, Margaret. We can't wait to see what happens with that and with all of your work. And we started with Flying Santa, so don't forget about that. And again, you can go to Amazon to get any of these great books. Thank you so much, Margaret, for stopping by.
Thank you, Kate. Lovely to talk to you.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.